a great truth, isn't it, that Jesus is strong and kind. He's the one who does things for us. And that's today why we give thanks to God, particularly as we remember 124 years of being a local church family. Now, today is our all-age service, which means that, well, you don't have a choice because there's no kids' work to go to, but it means our kids stay in with us today, and we're going to learn all together from the Bible. Now, I've got a question for some of the kids that are here. I don't think we're allowed to shout out, but if you say it kind of at a volume we can hear, what book of the Bible have we been looking at together on Sunday mornings? Anyone remember? Yeah, Romans, fantastic. So we have been looking at the New Testament letter of Romans, and it's a letter written to a church in a place called Rome by a man named Paul. Now, what's contained in this letter? Does anyone remember? What's it all about? Here's a clue. Is it more than a clue? What is it, Ella? Brilliant. It's God's good news. Well, Ella really has been listening. There we go. So contained in this letter is God's good news, God's gospel. That's what we say. Can you say that with me? God's gospel. That's what it is. It's his good news announcement for the world that everybody needs to hear. Now, this good news is about a person. And we've been summing it up with four words. Let's see if we can remember the four words. Let's see if someone other than Ella can remember the four words. Maybe the grown-ups could help it out. Who's it about four words? Yes, Debbie? Was it, he's saying, Jesus, can we say it together? Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the words, we can say them up together. Let me put them up. Jesus, here we go, let's try and put them. Christ our Lord. Let's say that together. One, two, three. Jesus Christ our Lord. That's at the heart of God's good news. A king to save us and a Lord to be obeyed by us. And this good news message about Jesus is one that says to us, now here was a word that we kind of made up, but it's okay to make words up, I've decided, that we're all wrongious. Can you do that with me? We're all wrongious, which means we have all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God and we've swapped God for other things. And so we are, can you say it with me? Wrongious. But the great thing, God's good news, is that by trusting in Jesus, we can be made, can we say this together? Righteous. We can be made friends with God, right with God. And we won't be judged when Jesus comes back because we've been made righteous. And so, because of what Jesus did on the cross, wrongious people can become righteous. Now, that's what we've seen so far in the book of Romans. But that leaves a question, doesn't it? Well, what's next? When someone trusts in Jesus, when they put their faith in Jesus and they're made right with God, what happens next in life? Is that it? Is that the end of the good news? Does the good news have any other differences to our life? Well, the good news is it does. And so we're going to dive this morning into Romans chapter 6. So boys and girls, if you're here, maybe you could look over a grown-up shoulder and look at Romans chapter 6. If you're at home, maybe you could grab a Bible or look on a device. We're going to look up Romans chapter 6, and that's going to be read to us on a video by Matt, which is a bit confusing because he's also here in the building. But we're going to watch Matt reading to us Romans chapter 6. So here we go, listening carefully to what he's got to say.
Today we'll be reading from Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Well, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into the death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead for the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him into death like his, we will also certainly united with him into a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has a mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of his righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you're a slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks to God that though you have been slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using examples from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves to the slaves of righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Fantastic. That's all clear, right? So shall we pray and go home? No, we need to think about this together, don't we? It's big. What difference does it make to the rest of our lives once we've trusted Jesus for our justification? So let's think about that together. Now, to help us think through that, keep Romans 6 open, I want to introduce you to a friend. This is Sid. Now, Sid is a servant. Now, I thought of naming Sid Simon, partly because he looks so much like my dad, and I think that's what I'm going to look like in 10 years' time. But actually, we're going to call him Sid today, and Sid is a servant. Can you say that with me? 1, 2, 3. He's a servant. Now, I guess that most of us know what a servant is, but I caught up with some friends from church this week to ask them what they thought a servant was, and we're just going to watch what they answered on the screen now, hopefully.
Zebby, what is a servant?
A servant is somebody who listens to the king and queen to do jobs.
A servant does things to help other people.
Damaris, what's a servant?
A servant is somebody who gives stuff to somebody when they ask for it.
What is a servant?
I think a servant is somebody who has a leader, and the leader asks them to do something, and they have to do it.
Isn't it? For what is a servant? A servant is someone who has a master. A servant is someone who obeys that master. So if a master says, I need a drink of water, the servant says, okay, I'll get you a drink of water. If the master says, I need some dinner, the servant says, okay, I'll get you some dinner. If the master says, I don't know why they'd say this, but if the master says, jump up and down, the servant says, okay, I'll jump up and down. A servant obeys their master. A servant offers themselves to their master. A servant says, here I am, what can I do for you today? Now, my friend Sid used to work for a big, mean master called Mr. Bad. Now, let's put Mr. Bad up here. Mr. Bad was a terrible master. He was a mean master, and he used to make Sid do all sorts of terrible things, wicked things, bad things. Now, sometimes Sid kind of enjoyed doing those things, but generally he wasn't very happy. And Mr. Bad was such a mean master that at night times he used to keep him locked up in a dungeon so that Sid could never get away. Sid used to wake up every day and he used to say to Mr. Bad, Mr. Bad, here I am. What can I do for you today. He'd offer himself to Mr. Bat. Until one day, something wonderful happened to Sid. Sid was out and about in the town, and he was doing some jobs for Mr. Bat. And he bumped into another master. And this master is called Mr. Good. And Mr. Good said to Sid, "Sid, would you like to come and be my servant? Would you like to leave Mr. Bad? Would you like to leave that horrible place and come and be my servant instead?" And of course, Sid was like, "I'd love to do that. I'd love to come and be your master, but how am I going to get away?" And Mr. Good said, "Don't worry about it. I'll do everything needed to set you free from being Mr. Bad's servant, and you can come and be my servant instead." Sid was given a new life by Mr. Good. Sid was given a whole new start. And Sid was very happy. He is very happy serving Mr. Good. He has a very good life. Mr. Good is a good master. He only asks him to do good things and right things. So Sid is now a servant of Mr. Good rather than Mr. Bad. And Sid wakes up every day and he says to Mr. Good, "Mr. Good, here I am. What can I do for you today?" Now, sometimes when Sid's out and about, sometimes he still has to go into town and he has to do jobs for Mr. Good. But sometimes when he's in town, he still bumps into Mr. Bad. And sometimes Mr. Bad shouts at him and he says, "Oi, you, Sid, come and do this for me." And sometimes Sid gets all in a fluster and he says, "Okay, okay." And sometimes he does the jobs for Mr. Bad. But other days he remembers that he doesn't work for Mr. Bad anymore. And he says to him, "No, I'm not going to do that job for you because I now work for," who does he work for? Mr. Good. He works for Mr. Good. And Sid has been given a new life. Not working for Mr. Bad, but he now works for Mr. Good. Now, boys and girls, why do I tell you the story of my friend Sid this morning? Well, I tell you the story of Sid because it helps us to understand something about God's good news. It helps us to understand what Paul is saying in all those big words and in all those big ideas in Romans chapter 6. You see, what is the good news? The good news is that something has changed for those who trust Jesus. Romans chapter 6 tells us that we are all servants. We all have a master. Whether we like it or not, we are all servants and all have a master. And before we ever hear God's good news, before we ever hear about Jesus Christ our Lord, the Bible tells us that we are servants of sin. Now let's get our noses in the Bible and let's have a look to see what it says that. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, right in the middle there, Paul uses this little phrase. He says, you used to be slaves to sin. You see that right there? Sin is our master. A bit like Mr. Bad was Sid's master. Sin is who we obey. And we are trapped, locked up in the dungeon of sin. But thanks to God, thanks to God's good news, thanks to Jesus Christ our Lord, something wonderful has happened to those who trust Jesus. Just like it did to Sid. By joining ourselves to Jesus, we have been set free from our old master sin, and we have been given a new life, a new start, a fresh start, where God, Mr. Good, is our master. So just dive with me into the Bible. We're going to look at some verses. Some of this is a bit complicated, all right? So boys and girls, don't be a bit worried if it's a bit confusing, but it's really important stuff. So look at verse 3 and 4. It says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ," those who believed in Jesus, "were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. There it is, right there. Those trusting Jesus have been joined to him. We've died, our old relationship with sin has ended, and we've been given a new life where we now have a new master. The old relationship is dead, and we have a new master God. Now, here's the big truth, okay? We're going to put it up on the screen. Here's the big truth that I want us to see from Romans 6 today, and it is this. Those justified by Jesus, now justified is that big word that says we've been made righteous. Those justified by Jesus have been given a new life. So can we say that, the bit that's in bold there, we can say that together, okay? Those justified by Jesus have been given a new life. A fresh start. Now, what is this new life like? It's not that we kind of just saved by Jesus and then we just get on with it. No, we've been given a new life. And Romans 6 teaches us something about that new life. Here's thing number one. Thing number one is we don't serve sin. Okay, so we need an action for that. Maybe you could put that up on the screen, Matt, if that's all right. Here we go. So don't serve sin. We're just going to do shaking hands like this. Boys and girls, if you're here, can you help us with that? So we've been given a new life, so don't serve sin. Now, if you've got a Bible, kids, why don't you look over, see if you can look into a Bible next to you. Verse 11 says this, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Dead to sin, but alive to God. Well, here's the reality. Sadly, sin hasn't gone away. When you trust Jesus and you've been changed from someone who's wrongous before God into someone who's righteous, and sin does not go away. Sin is still present. It's still around. And it still calls to us every day and says, oi, you need to do what I tell you. Oi, don't do what mum and dad say. Do what I tell you. Oi, don't, you can take that, no one's looking. Oi, it calls. Tell a lie to get yourself out of trouble. Every day, sin is still calling out to us. It's still shouting to us, and it wants us to obey. But actually, do you know what we're meant to do? We need to remember, we need to think that we are dead to sin. That means that our relationship with sin has ended. Do you remember that Sid doesn't work for Mr. Bad anymore? Mr. Good did everything needed for Sid to be transferred from Mr. Bad to Mr. Good. He doesn't work anymore. And as Christians, we are meant to say, no, I don't work for sin anymore. I don't work for you. I don't do those things anymore. You see, look at verse 13. These are quite big ideas, but it's important we get our heads around it. It says, do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness. See, we must not say to sin anymore, here I am, what do you want me to do for you? Here I am, I'm ready to do what you say. No, for someone who's been given a new life, we need to learn to say, can we do this? Say no to sin. We don't serve sin anymore. Now, why does it matter? Why does it matter that we think about this? Does it even matter that we sin anymore? I mean, after all, aren't we forgiven? Have you ever thought like that? I'm forgiven by God, and if I sin, well, it doesn't matter because I can just go back and say sorry, and I'll get forgiven again. Does it matter that we go on sinning? Well, that's what Paul asked. That's what people were asking him. Listen to chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And again in verse 15, shall we sin because we're not under the law? No, Paul says when you've been set free to this new life, you must no longer obey sin. Now, why is that? Because part of God's good news to us is that through Jesus Christ, God has broken the power of sin and control of sin over us that it once had. He has given us a new life where we must learn to say no to the old master sin. When it calls us and it says, this is what you should do, God has broken the power of sin so that we can now obey a new master and we can obey God. Now, if you're still with me, some of you may be sitting there thinking, oh man, but isn't that really difficult? Because actually, I'm a Christian, but I know that sin is still around. So if God has broken the power of sin over me, why do I still sin so much? Why every day do I give in to sin and say yes to my old master? See, if you're like me, we get it wrong all the time. So this sounds great, Paul, doesn't it? Oh, you know, we're dead to sin, but alive to God. But is that my experience every day? Well, without spoiling next week, Romans chapter 7 talks a lot about how these two things go together. But here's what the Christian needs to understand. The Christian needs to understand that the penalty for sin has been paid. All my sins have been paid for at the cross. We need to understand that the power of sin has been broken over us. It is no longer our master. But we also need to understand that sin is still present in our lives and in this world. And so the penalty for sin is paid, the power of sin has been broken, but the presence of sin is still here. And that's why every day in our lives we have this battle. Just like when Sid went out into the town and he bumped into Mr. Bad, and Mr. Bad called to him, and sometimes he did it and sometimes he didn't. When we get it wrong, it keeps us coming back to God's good news. It keeps us coming back to the fact that I am made righteous not because of me, not because of my obeying God, but because of Jesus' obedience. So let me ask you this morning, are you trusting Jesus? Are there particular sins, if you are trusting Jesus, that you need to be learning to say, no, I don't work for you anymore? Is there a particular way that you need to be learning to say no to the old master sin? Those justified by Jesus are given, can we say that bit together? A new life. So, can you do it with me? Don't serve sin. Instead, Paul says, serve God. Can you do that with me? Serve God. See, look at verse 13 again. Boys and girls, if you've got eyes on a Bible, have a look at it there. It says this, verse 13, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. Look at that little phrase, offer yourselves to God. Now, if someone comes around to my house, which hasn't really happened for a long time, but you know what I mean, what would you do? You'd offer them a drink, wouldn't you? Would you like a drink? Or you'd say, would you like a biscuit? You're offering something to them. And we're being told here that as those who have a new master, who have God as our master, we should say to God every day, God, here I am. What can I do for you today? What can I do in this world for you? And sometimes here it's called, and this is the thing that's confusing sometimes about Romans 6, is it's got so many bits of language for the same thing, but it talks about us being slaves to righteousness, slaves to the right things, slaves to doing God's good stuff, God things, good things. And we are to offer every part of ourselves to God. You see, God, when he becomes our master, he doesn't just want a little bit of you, he wants all of you. So he wants you to offer your thoughts and your words and your actions and your time and your money and your relationships. He wants every part of you. By the time we get to Romans 12, he says, therefore, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And so when our old master says to us, oi, tell a lie to get yourself out of trouble, actually, what we need to say is, God, here I am. What do you want me to do? And then we hear God saying, tell the truth. Don't tell a lie. When we hear our old master, if someone's really made us angry, and our old master shouts out and says, oh, you could get really angry right now. You could do something terrible here. Actually, we listen to our new master, and we say, hey, God calls to us and says, no, don't get angry. Angry doesn't achieve the right thing. Be gentle, be forgiving, be kind, be patient. See, we are to offer ourselves, all of us, to God in every situation and say, here I am. What do you want me to do today? Now, friends, isn't that exactly what Jesus did? As we think about what this looks like in life, then we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one who every day offered himself to his Father in heaven and said, here I am, what do you want me to do for you? Right into his own death. It tells us that he became obedient even to death on a cross. He obeyed his Master God, his Heavenly Father. And if all this sounds really difficult, and it is, do you know what? We have God's help to do it. As we read through Romans, we're going to see that Paul starts talking about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can learn to obey God and not obey sin. And so every time we struggle, we know that we have God's help. We're under his control. And so, boys and girls, here we go. This is what we've been learning, okay? Those justified by Jesus, can we say it together, have a new life. And so what do we say? We don't serve sin, and we do serve God. A couple of questions as we finish. Let me ask you, whether you're at home or whether you're here in the building, who is your master? Who is your master? Who do you belong to? Are you still belonging, as it were, to the old way? Do you belong to sin over here? Is sin telling you what to do every day? Is it sin that you wake up and say, here I am, what do you want me to do for you? Or do you belong to God? Romans chapter 6, with all its words, with all its phrases, actually is very simply inviting us this morning to be those who, by trusting God's good news, are set free from sin, our old master. We're forgiven by Jesus and we have a new life. We're invited to a new life where we serve God. Would you want to do that? You see, why does it matter? Well, listen to this famous verse, probably the most famous verse in Romans 6. It says this, for the wages of sin is death. If we follow this, what do we get? What do we get paid for this? It is death. But the gift of God, the things that he gives to us, just like Mr. Good gave Sid a new life, the things God gives to us is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, those justified by God have been given a new life, a fresh start. And so it really matters, doesn't it? If the wages of sin are death, we don't want to be there. But don't we want the gift of God to have eternal life? Ask Jesus today, whether you're young or whether you're old, to set you free, that you might live a new life serving God. And for those of us here, whether we're young or older, rather than calling you old, but whether we're young or older, actually, if you are trusting Jesus, if you are trusting him for your righteousness, if you have been given that new life, do you believe? Because the Bible tells us this is true. Do you really believe that God has broken the power of sin over your life? And he's given you a new life in Jesus Christ and a new master. And that ability, even though sin's there present with us, he's given us that ability, that freedom to learn to say no. It is a learning process. But he's given us the power to say no to our old master and to offer ourselves to him every day and say, here I am. What do you want me to do today? With God's help this week, let's be those who say no to sin and yes to God. No to serving our old master and yes to God. That wake up every day and say, God, here I am. What do you want me to do for you today? Let's be servants. Let's be slaves of God this week. Let's say a prayer and then we're going to have a song. Father, thank you so much for the precious gift of eternal life, of new life, of a life that is set free from our slavery to sin. Father, we thank you that you have broken the power of sin over us, that it's no longer our master that we have to obey. But thank you that you've given us a new life through Jesus Christ. where we can obey you as our master. Please help us not to serve sin this week. Please help us not to offer ourselves to sin, but to offer ourselves to you, all of us, every part of us. Here we are. What can we do for you? In Jesus' name, amen.